This evening hour, I have a desire, with God's help, to read from the book of Isaiah, chapter number 55. Book of Isaiah, prophet Isaiah, chapter number 55. Knjiga proroka Isaije, 55. Glava. Želim da se čita. Isaiah 55. O everyone that thirsted, come ye to the waters, and he that had no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and a commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God, and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Now let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it. For ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. May God bless the reading of his word. Let us all kneel before him in prayer. It is a blessing, once again, to be able to gather together in the house of God. We had a desire, and God made it possible, so we were able to come. To be refreshed, to learn, to receive strength, to edify our souls, and to glorify our Heavenly Father. This chapter that we read, I know it's familiar to everyone. I grew up with it. It was read many, many times. It speaks about the great invitation, the loving invitation by God, our Father, who loves everyone, who cares for everyone. He does not want anyone to be lost, to perish. He does not want anyone to die, but he wants everyone to come to the knowledge and understanding of his word, to receive his blessing, and to be saved. That's his desire. Great love, mercy, and grace. So he begins, it says, everyone. So he speaks to everyone, not only the Israelites, but the Gentiles also, everyone. everyone that thirsted. What about those that are not thirsty for the word of God? God's grace extends even unto them, but they might not hear, they might not come, because they're not thirsty for the word of God. One needs to be thirsty and hungry to receive God's blessing. You need to have that desire, the will, to serve God. So everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. Jesus said in Matthew, if I can find it quickly here. I know it's in Matthew. I can't find it right now. He also speaks about coming to him to drink from the living water. It's either chapter 6 or 7, but he calls everyone to come to the waters freely. There's a fountain free. This is for you and me. Let us haste, oh, haste to the brink. It comes from the source from above, from the Father of love, and it's free. He says, and he that had no money, come ye and buy and eat. You do not need money. You cannot buy God's grace. You cannot buy God's mercy and love. It is free. It's been paid for by Jesus Christ, who was crucified on the cross. The blood that was shed, that's how it was paid for all of us, for the whole world. So why does it say, if you have no money, come and buy? How do you buy without money? We all know that when we buy something, we have to have money. Why do we have to buy it? Why not just come and take it? Take, eat, and drink. Why does it say, come ye and buy without money? We read just not long ago about sacrificing your body as a living sacrifice to God. You have to exchange it. You have to give something. You have to give our old life to receive the new life. We have to give ourselves to God. But we do not need money. We cannot buy it with money. It's God's grace. It's free. Jesus paid for it all, for the whole world. Come buy wine and milk, the goodness of God, without money and without price. God has promised to his people the land which floweth with milk and honey. The beautiful land, he promised it unto them. And they did not enter in because of their unbelief, because of their sin. Sin is what separates man from God. That's the reason Jesus came, to be the bridge, to be the connection, so that we can get to God. So that our sins will be blotted out and forgiven, so that we can be free, so that we can have that everlasting life. So we can inherit the promised land, the true promised land, that those heavenly mansions which God has prepared for all of those that are faithful unto him. Then he continues, prophet continues, he says, why do you spend the money for that which is not bread? Jesus is the true living bread. He was the manna that came down for the Israelites too. And he speaks about his body as being a bread and his blood, that they needed to drink his blood and eat his body as bread. They did not understand that. They took it literally, of course. If you take anything from the Word of God and you don't take it spiritually, you will not understand. Nobody will. So many of these disciples left, did not follow him anymore. They were offended because they did not understand. They did not want to understand. His disciples did not leave, the true disciples. Perhaps they didn't understand either right away. But they asked him. They followed him. They wanted to learn. We do not understand many things. Do we just leave just because we do not understand? We stay close to the Word of God. And we pray to God to give us the wisdom and understanding, to reveal it unto us, the things that we do not understand. So let's not labor for that which satisfieth not. It says, hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good. This is what God wants for all of us, to receive his word, which is a good thing. The blessing. There's nothing better than God's word. We cannot find it anywhere. Any other books, anywhere in the world. Eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear. Come closely and listen. And he says, come unto me. Jesus said in also Matthew chapter 11, last three verses, I believe. It says, come unto me, all ye the labor and are heavy laden. Let me find it here. Come unto me, all ye the labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The true calling of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who will help us to carry our cross. Jesus said that in Luke chapter 14 and some other places also, he says, if anyone wants to become my disciple, he has to hate his mother, father, brother, sister, his wife, everyone. Take up his cross and follow him. That doesn't mean that we need to hate our parents or our siblings, but if they're holding us back from following Jesus, we shouldn't be listening to them. Jesus Christ needs to be number one in our life. Let me get back to the chapter that we read. Come unto me here, and your soul shall live. It's the only way to have everlasting life is to listen, accept, meditate upon it, as brother mentioned in the prayer, and live by it. And if we are thirsty for the righteousness, then we will come and listen to the words of God. If we are not thirsty, if we do not care, then we won't even hear. So we need to incline our ear and come unto God. And he says, and he's promising us, he says, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Everlasting covenant. And God does not break his covenant. We made a covenant with him also. Can we break our covenant? No. It's possible, but we shouldn't. If we made a promise, we should not break it. God will help us to keep that promise. You know how many times people will promise things to others and they break it very easily. They change their mind. Things change, and all of a sudden, the promise that they made, they break it very easily. We made a promise with God before many, many witnesses, those of us that are in faith, that have been baptized. We made a promise that we should not break it. He also speaks about a nation, and we know that this invitation is for the Gentiles also. And here he's reminding us that he said, "Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee." Then he continues on. He says, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near." Seek him while he may be found. That means that there might come a time, or there will come a time, that you will not be able to find him. Otherwise, it will say, seek the Lord anytime, as there's plenty of time, while he may be found. The day is coming that he will not be found by those that are perhaps seeking him a little bit too late. Call ye upon him while he is near, while the doors of mercy and grace are open. My dear friends, you can still call and look for him and seek him. Knock on the door. Revelation 3:20, it says, this is Jesus saying, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." Revelation 3:20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man, hear my voice and open the door." So hearing is one thing. Many people hear, even now. We all hear God's voice, Jesus' voice through the scripture, through the words that we are reading. "If any man hear my voice and open the door," you have to open. If anyone comes to your house and knocks on the door, you hear it. If you do not open, how can someone come in? You need to open the door of your heart. Accept him, receive him gladly. Then he will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. It will be a great, great blessing, great feast if you open the door of your heart and let him in. Let the Savior in. There's a song that says, someone's knocking at the door. Let the Savior in. Let him in. Open it. Allow him to come in. It is up to you. It is up to the individual to let Savior come into your heart. Verse 7, it says, "Let the wicked forsake his way, the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord." It doesn't sound right to say, "Let the wicked forsake his way." Maybe "the unrighteous man his thoughts" sounds a little bit better. Not everyone is wicked. Just because you have not made covenant with God, you might not be wicked, but you're not righteous. The Bible says nobody is righteous. No, not one. We have all sinned, one way or the other. There are many wicked people in this world. He's calling those too, and there are many unrighteous people. Everyone needs salvation. And let him return unto the Lord. Isaiah speaks in chapter 1, the very beginning of his book. I'll start on verse 16, chapter 1 of Isaiah. He says, "Wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil, learn to do well, seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow." Then he calls, he says, "Come now and let us reason together. saith the Lord, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. So even those wicked, really, really wicked people can be made as white as snow if they return, if they repent. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. When John the Baptist came, the first word that came out of his mouth that's recorded was repent. Repent ye, for the kingdom of God is at hand. It is near. Peter also, when he made the sermon in Acts chapter 3, I believe, first thing he said to the people that were there, he says, repent ye, return, have a change of heart, change of mind. Come back to the Lord. And he will have mercy. He will abundantly pardon. So regardless how great of a sinner one is, if he or she repents, truly, truly repents, if you truly seek God with pure heart, he will have mercy. He says, for he will abundantly pardon. He will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. God is great. God is merciful. And his desire is that the whole world would be saved. That's why these words are read throughout the whole world, everywhere. I don't know if there's a country or language that does not have or that did not hear the word of God. The Bible is printed in many, many languages so that everyone can understand and hear in their own language so that they were able to return unto God. And his commandments, his words, especially the New Testament where we have salvation, are not hard. They're not hard to understand. Many of our fathers or grandfathers had very limited education, perhaps 2 years of school, and they were able to understand the Bible. Seems like nowadays the revisions are changing to make it easier to understand, and yet it's very, very simple if we have desire to look into it and read and understand. And if we don't understand, we pray to God to give us the wisdom and understanding. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. We know that God is merciful, that he's loving and kind, and we understand him and we know him as such, loving God. We do not understand his ways or his thoughts, but we do know that he did send his only son to die for our sins because we were sinners. That we know. Nobody has to tell us. We were born as sinners. We sinned. We disobeyed God. And we knew, according to the word of God, the only way to come back to him is through Jesus Christ, through the blood that was shed for our sins. There is no other way. And that we know. And that's all we need to know. We might not understand a lot of things because his ways and his thoughts are different than ours. But the things that we need to know, that we understand. Many people will have these questions that perhaps nobody can answer. But they dwell on that. They're asking questions. Why would God do this? Why this? Why would he allow this? Why would he do certain things? We need to stick to the word of God accept the things that we need to know and be satisfied with God's will. What we need to do to have everlasting life. That's what we need to meditate upon and dwell on. What we need to do in order to inherit everlasting life. To be in those heavenly mansions. The Word of God says, I think Apostle Paul says in Corinthians, that our mind, our eyes did not see, even our ears did not hear, our mind cannot even comprehend, cannot even imagine what God had prepared for those who love him. He prepared a beautiful, beautiful home for all of us if we abide in him. If we abide in his love, in his grace, if we are faithful unto him, this is the only way to get to heaven. There is no other way. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that he may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void. It will not return empty. As brother mentioned in the prayer also, he sent Jesus to do his will. He had a mission, and he completed it. He was victorious. He won the battle. It was hard for him, very hard. He even prayed, if it's possible, not to drink from the bitter cup. Can you imagine if he did not drink from the bitter cup? If he did not die for us? If he called legions of angels to help him, to save him, to bring him down from the cross? Well, that would have been easier for him not to drink from the bitter cup. But then it would be a lot harder for us. How would we then inherit that everlasting life? So we should be happy that he died. Sad because he suffered, and yet happy because now we have this great assurance. We have received this heavenly kingdom that Jesus spoke so much about. So every time the Word of God is preached, every time we read, every time God sows his word down here on this earth, it will not go back empty or void. It will not return unto him void. It will always be accomplished. He said, he shall accomplish that which I please. It will be to God's honor and to his glory. It will never go back empty. Just like the rain and the snow, when it comes down on this earth, it waters the plants. The plants bring forth fruit. And we enjoy it. We use it. We live by it. Same thing is with his word. It's a blessing. We enjoy it. We grow. And we bring forth fruit. 60, 30, 60, or 100. To our honor? No. To God's honor and to God's glory. We get edified. We have everlasting life through his word. And God gets glorified. He's the one that created us. And he says, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it. For ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. There's a great joy when one repents. When one changes, when one person comes to God, there's a great joy. And this is what God is promising unto us. To live a life with joy and happiness and blessing. We get blessed. We are happy. Even here on this earth. And then when we finish this course of our life, it's not the end of it. Then we receive the best thing. Best is yet to come. Then we can live forever. No more pain, no sorrow, no anxiety, no sadness, nothing, just happiness and joy. To live forever. Can we imagine what God has promised unto us? Life everlasting. So those of you that did not make a covenant, incline your ear. Listen to the words of God. Listen to Jesus, to the small, still voice. Accept him. Receive him. Open the door of your heart. Let him in. Repent. Change. Go down on your knees. That's the only way you can get to Jesus. It's down on your knees through prayer. Have the communication with God. And those of us that had made a covenant with God, do we have to do anything? Or do we have this blessed assurance? We are safe. We are saved. We also need to be very careful. We need to guard that which we received. We have the Holy Spirit within us. But if we are disobedient, he will leave us. God promised that he will be with us, that he will never forsake us. God will not forsake us. If we sin, it's us that will forsake God. You know, sometimes we feel that God is in a distance, that he is not close to us. Well, guess who moved? God does not move. If we don't feel that he is near to us, that means we moved, not him. So let us always examine ourselves every day. Every day we are down on our knees praying to God. And we need to always ask him, just like the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples. It says, forgive us our weaknesses, shortcomings, mistakes, sins, things that we do that we shouldn't do. Every day we need to kneel down on our knees and pray to God and ask for forgiveness and to give us strength, to encourage us, to give us all the things that we need to prosper in faith, to be closer to God, to be better. Not better than someone else, but better than we used to be than we are. Always try to be closer to God. If we're close to God, then enemy cannot do any harm unto us. We are protected. But if we are on our own, by ourselves, without any protection, without the armor of God, then Satan won't have to do much to take us away, to destroy us. That's his desire, that's his will, to separate us from the love of God, to destroy us, to kill us, to completely take us back. That's his desire. We know his craftiness. We know what he is planning. We know what he wants to do to us. A lot of times he comes to us and offers the things that might look beautiful, but if we know his craftiness and we know it's not from God, we should not accept it. So let us be in a constant prayer and read God's word and ask him to give us the understanding that we need in faith so that we would prosper, that we would be close to him, and that we would be able to walk with him, follow his footsteps, and follow God's, or do God's commandments, which are not hard. May God bless his word, and may he bless all of us and be with us all. Amen.
This chapter that we've read in this evening is a call to repentance. And in a lot of ways, it's very similar to the calls of repentance that we read in the New Testament. This chapter begins by telling us to come to the waters. Those who have thirst, let them come to the waters. And my mind went to the account of Jesus when he was at Jacob's well with the woman of Samaria. And Jesus asked the woman, he says, give me to drink. And she goes on, she explains how it's hard for her to believe that Jesus, being a Jew, asks water of her, being a woman of Samaria. And Jesus's answer has been on my mind throughout this evening. He says, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Jesus, of course, knew the thoughts of this woman. He knew her intents. He knew everything about her. And he says, if you knew who was talking to you, you would ask him to give you to drink. Just as he knew that woman, he knows our hearts as well. He knows the thoughts, the intents of our hearts, better than we know them ourselves. He knows exactly what things we seek, what things we want more than anything else. Would he be able to confidently say that of us, that if we knew who we were talking with, that we would ask him for that water that when we drink, we will never thirst again? Jesus says, whoever drinks of this water, the water of the well, will thirst again. And that has also a spiritual meaning. If we drink of the water of this world, we will have thirst again. We will never be satisfied with anything the world has to offer unto us. Any thrill that gives us a pleasure, a short-term pleasure, well, the next time we go to do that, we'll have to do even more. That's the same with anything that the devil would bring at us. Alcohol, drugs, tobacco, lust, greed, anything we can imagine, it's going to take more the next time. That never satisfies. It never can. It never will. But the water that Jesus gives us will make us to never thirst again. Why would we labor for that which satisfies not, as we've read? Why take of that water that we know is going to make us thirst again? May God give us the wisdom daily to look into our hearts and to see what am I longing for? What water am I desiring to take? The water that's just going to make me thirst again? Or the water that will make me never thirst again, that will give me life? We all think that we can handle it. Any sin, any temptation, any sin that would come into our hearts, we all think at one point or another that we can handle it. We can partake of this without going further the next time. And we always fail because we cannot do it by ourselves. We all think if we had all the money, all the riches, we could handle it. We would not become greedy. But we always do. We always fall again with any temptation. It is only when we humble ourselves and take of that water willingly, that he will give us the strength to not return unto that sin again, that we would not be like a dog that returns again into his own vomit, but that we would be changed, transformed by the renewing of our minds to please him. May God bless his word in our hearts this evening. Amen.